It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
Welcome in, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hey, buddy.
How you doing, Scotty?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing really good. Actually, I'm doing fantastic, having a great morning. And early morning, got started on some of the Utah State stuff, trying to figure out who this Utah State team is. And had a blast all morning watching this Utah State film. This is a really fun team to watch. You are 100% right.
Offensively, they're really, really fun to watch.
This is an energetic, high pace, both offense and defense. They both have some fantastic athletes, big time playmakers on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Some electric playmakers. And, you know, I was looking at Boise State a little bit. Boise State's beatable. This is not an unbeatable. This is not the Boise State team of the past. This is a beatable team.
Boise State cannot run the ball, and also they cannot stop the run. Now, granted, they've played two teams that are pretty good in Central Florida and Oklahoma State. So those are two good teams they're playing. That might have a little bit to do with it as well, but still, that game on Saturday morning is going to be a lot of fun. 10 a.m. start. 10 a.m.
Do you like that?
I like it. I'm all for it. I just don't know how that affects a player.
10 a.m. in Logan. I like that it's 10 a.m. at my own house.
Exactly.
If it's 10 a.m. on the road, it's not as friendly to me. Getting up in a hotel and trying to get my pregame meal in and trying to get over to the stadium, because that means that they're at the stadium at 8 a.m.
Yep.
Because you get yourself out there about two hours before kickoff time, start getting taped, start going through some of your special teams meetings, final brush up and prep. You're at the stadium at 8 a.m. I'll bet that the bus probably arrives at the stadium at 7:40. With the Boise State players.
Yeah, probably.
And with the Utah State guys, it's, hey, make sure that you guys show up at the stadium, get there by 8. If, you know, some of the veterans, 8:15 at the latest. And we'll start some prep. And it's nice because you're at your own facilities on Friday night going through some of the final brush-ups instead of being on the road. I don't mind 10 a.m. kick at home. I would hate 10 a.m. kick on the road. I actually think that plays into Utah State's favor.
I do, too. I also think that this team's coming in with a lot of momentum. But you always want to see what you do against. I mean, Air Force is a good team. Washington State, yeah, I don't know. The jury might be still out on those guys. But it's still, you know, quote, Pac-12 talent.
Well, the jury's still out on Central Florida and Oklahoma State.
Fair. Absolutely.
The two teams that Boise State lost to.
Yeah. But if Utah State can get that win and set up a 4-0 game against BYU the following week, that'll be fun.
Yeah, that'd be special. Now, the big question is, and I'll say this before I get to the big question, Aggie fans, get your act together. You better be out there making Maverick Stadium at Merlin Olsen Field or Merlin Olsen Field at Aggie State or at Maverick Stadium. You better be making that a miserable place to be.
We could just call
Listen
it Merlin
to your blind
Olsen.
People. Get your act together.
Get your act together and get out to Merlin Olsen Field. And I want you there at 9:40.
I got a text from a good friend of ours up there, and he says that they got about 1,500 tickets left.
Oh, well, that's good news. Now,
not a lot left.
Now we just,
and that's not including your walk-ups that are going to take probably about 3/4 of those. So, if you want to get to that game, go up there and get it.
Now we just send the memo out to everybody to be there at 9:45. Be there before kick.
Yeah, get in your seats, man.
You saw how much that played into that BYU-Arizona State game.
Yeah, and that's kind of a Utah thing, too. I mean, you know, the old Mormon Standard Time joke.
Yeah.
We like to meander into events. No. Get up there early. Let's go.
Yep. I know from experience when you walk out on the field for warm-ups and you're looking around like, oh, this is going to be a long day.
Yeah.
And you see all the fans and they're all these Aggie fans and you know that that place can be miserable when it's packed full. And you walk out there, if you're a Boise State Bronco and you're walking out there and you already know it's going to be still a little bit chilly because it's 10 a.m. You're actually be out there walking out about 8:30 a.m. getting your first take of the field. And if you start seeing fans, you walk out for that 9:30 special teams display and you're walking out and you're like, this place is 75% full. We don't kick off for another 20 minutes. What are these people doing? And having it already getting a little bit crazy. Get out there because this is – if Utah State wins this game, it's the first time in their program history of 4-0, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't gone back that far. I just went back to the 1978 with a 3-0. So.
Well, I thought that you and Lloyd told me that that coach lost his fourth one.
He did, but I do think there was somebody before that started 7-0, like in the early 1900s.
Oh, way, way back.
Yeah.
When it really was
leather helmets.
Aggie land.
Yeah, when it was
all about
Utah
cows.
State Agricultural College or whatever they called it back in the day. I'm fired up. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I believe that the BYU-Utah State game is, I think, if it's not already, it's really close to a sellout. The game the following week.
I don't think there's Logan.
I think if you can scrounge a ticket for that, you're going to be pretty lucky.
Well, you know I'm going to be standing by Ben Bagley pushing him into the action.
That was a really unfortunate situation there. If you don't remember, if you have not heard this story, Ben Bagley, who's a really good friend of ours and a veteran of the sports radio scene here in Utah, we're down on the sideline, and we're standing next to Ben, and there was a play that came into the sideline, and Hans built out of granite, essentially a Greek god of a figure, takes Ben Bagley and pushes him in front of the play and uses Ben as a human shield.
It was coming right at us. Had to do something. It almost got to us. If Ben's body hadn't stopped it, it would have gotten to us.
Is this Ben before he lost all the LBs too?
No, this is after.
Okay, so Ben's like 200 pounds now. You know, what are you doing?
Yeah, Ben was not the big Ben that we knew. He was little Ben. His bones were fragile. He didn't break, though.
No, he didn't. He absorbed the hit, and we were all kept nice and safe. Hey, remember the game we were up there when it was like 20 degrees below zero?
That sucked.
Was that the same game?
That was the same game. My toes were so cold.
That was the most miserable I've ever been. That was a game that was so cold, I looked down at my phone, and my phone had shut off because it was so cold.
It freezing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. The wind chill was high, and it was horrible. But at some point, hopefully I get a minute before we jump into our Cougar preview show that'll go from noon until 2. I do want to talk about some of the observations I had from this Utah State team.
We'll get to it for sure. Big story of the day up on the hill with the University of Utah. Let's get to it. Starting lineup right now.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health. Gotta love! On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Kyle Whittingham yesterday with the announcement of the timeline of what went down regarding Charlie Brewer leaving the program, moving on. And, in fact, let's just play his comment. This is his answer to the question yesterday in regards of how it went down with Charlie Brewer telling the coaching staff that he was done at the University of Utah.
That happened yesterday. Charlie had made the decision that he was in his best interest to move on, and he thought about it for a day and confirmed it today. but presented it yesterday.
Did you have a conversation with them all, or did you just listen?
Oh, we had a conversation, you bet.
Did you present pros and cons or anything?
Absolutely. You always do. You know, you give them advice and tell them the way you see it. And he felt it was in his best interest to get to a new place.
Did he voice frustration with the decision to start camp?
No, we didn't talk about that. It was just talking about his future.
Not that you'd have any regrets, but have you learned anything as far as the transfer portal with quarterbacks?
That they go in a lot, and that's probably the position that has the most, you know, activity as far as by ratio, if that makes sense. So, in other words, you got five O-linemen that start, just one quarterback. There's probably as many quarterbacks as O-linemen total in the portal. And so that is a position that's very fluid and a lot of movement at that position.
How ready do you feel like Jaquindon and Jackson is if he has to step
well,
in there?
He was sharp today, and we feel that he has gotten much better in the time that he's been here. The injury that he had in fall camp, it slowed him down. It kept him out about 6 weeks. Nah, about 4 weeks was unfortunate because he would have been further ahead had he not had that injury.
Do you have a 13?
Bryson Barnes. 13 quarterback, yeah. Bryson Barnes.
Will Peter dress?
Doubtful. Doubtful.
And then you also named your starting running back, and then kind of the pecking order with that. So who's number three and number four as far as running backs?
That's based on practice and performance, yeah. And so right now we're still working through that and see who has the best work today, tomorrow, and Thursday.
Do you see any merit to, like, what you did with Tyler Huntley? Start him as a sophomore, have him develop, and then as a senior he really had a huge season as opposed to going with these one-and-done guys?
Well, there's merit to that, too. You know, the bottom line is, who gives you the best chance to win right now? I guess you could say, well, we're going to, you know, just look towards two or three years down the road, but that's not how most football coaches operate, not how any of them operate that I know of. And so, you know, it's who gives you the best chance. When we made the decision to start Charlie, I had told everybody all fall camp that it was neck and neck. It was that close, and it was the experience that Charlie brought to the table that really was the difference maker.
One more question about that.
Was the big thing now with Cam is how mobile he is and really showing that off on Saturday is what kind of helps make this choice
well,
to start him?
When he came in, gave us a spark and moved the team. You know, he threw three touchdown passes and did show some mobility, as you said. That's another strength of his. And we just felt as a staff that he came in and did exactly what we hoped he would do. It didn't happen right away. Like I said, after the game, took him a couple series to settle in. But once he got in a rhythm, he was very good.
A lot of info there, and PK asking some questions that I think need to be asked in terms of you feel like you've been burned a little bit by the one-and-done quarterbacks, and Kyle Whittingham saying, hey, look, we're looking for guys that can help us win right now. I'm not in for a three-year, four-year plan. I mean, if we can go with a guy that can help us now and we can also continue to develop that can help us for 3 or 4 years, that's great, but we need to win games right now, and we're going to take chances on guys that we think can help us, and sometimes it'll work, sometimes it won't.
Dang, that's tough because right now it feels like if you find a freshman quarterback that has been preparing himself as if he's a college player for years, and we're seeing that in even here in the state of Utah. We're seeing quarterbacks now come through different quarterback camps and different development and growth that we didn't see in the 90s and early 2000s, where quarterbacks are more ready as a freshman. I don't want to get to a point where I have to bring a super senior in to try to give me a one and done. I'd rather go get a freshman that can give me a two and done, you know, or give me a three and done, but give me good play out of high school early. Somebody that I see can come in and do some great things. He was asked if Peter Castelli was going to dress in this game, and he said, no. Well, why not? Peter was supposed to be a big-time recruit and a big-time get. So you got Cam Rising, which is fantastic. You know, Cam came in as a freshman, as a transfer himself, but as a young transfer, and he won that start. Well, is Castelli not good? Why is he not dressing? Why is he not developed? Why is he not ready to go? I get Jaquindon Jackson as a young guy. I think he's a sophomore. Freshman?
I think he's technically a freshman.
Technically a freshman?
Yeah.
So he is a young guy, and he's a backup. So, you know, at least they're at least they're trying with this freshman, but I don't like the one-and-done super senior. Some of it might work. Like, I'm watching Bonner work with Coach Anderson.
Yeah.
But is Bonner a super senior?
Bonner's actually technically a junior, I think.
Ineligibility?
Ineligibility.
One more year?
He's got one more year. And remember, he was with Blake Anderson. Like, Blake developed him. He's Blake's guy. So it's like, you know, he comes over and he's with the same, you know, a lot of the same coaching staff. So I think that's a little bit different.
But if that is working.
Yeah.
But I just want to see the young quarterbacks. But then, you know, you see a young quarterback and he makes dumb mistakes, and dumb mistakes don't fit with Kyle Whittingham.
No.
Look at Tavian Thomas. He was asked, well, okay, so I see your first and second string. Who's your third string? He's like, well, we'll see. Through practice, we'll see.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even mention Tavian Thomas, who had grabbed the start for game one. Or no, Mekhi Bernard grabbed the start for game one.
But Tavian was right
in,
there, yeah.
Right in.
And when we talked to him after game one, Kyle Whittingham, when he came on the show on the Utah BYU week, and I asked him, do you feel like a guy's ready to separate? He said yes, and it was – he read between the lines based on the carries at Weber State. Tavian Thomas – Kyle Whittingham wanted Tavian Thomas to take over this job. And I think they were preparing for Tavian Thomas to take over the job. But he couldn't hold on to the ball against BYU, put it – you know, gave it up once, nearly gave it up twice. And you mentioned when he really fell, it kind of seemed like maybe something went on during practice too, where there were some fumbles as well. That's the only thing that could kind of lead you to believe that he only got one carry against San Diego State the following week.
And then not listed on the depth
and
chart.
And now not even on the depth chart.
Yeah. You can tell that he's being put through the ringer. Rightfully so.
Yeah. You got to trust the guy. Kyle Whittingham is all about trust. If he can't trust you, you're not going to play. And I don't think Kyle Whittingham felt like he could trust Tavian Thomas. And frankly, I don't think he'd gotten to the point where he could trust Charlie Brewer. And he was asked, you know, what was those – was he upset that you were going to go with Cam Rising? He said, no, we didn't talk about that. We just talked about his future here at the University of Utah, which was pretty much the same thing. I think Kyle Whittingham said, I can't trust you right now. You're not going to be our starting quarterback. And this is how it's going to play out going forward. In which Charlie Brewer said, okay, I'm going to go somewhere else.
So it's interesting with the quarterback situation because it kind of feels like Jerry Sloan with his guard situations. Like, I'm not going to play. I want you to be a little bit aged, a little bit veteran. I want you to have time, extra time. I don't want to just throw you to the fire. You know, Jerry struggled to play the young guys, at least from what I remember.
Yeah, even made Darren Williams sit down. Milt Palacio from Colorado State was getting starting nods over Darren Williams.
He just liked to take his time with
and made Darren earn it. Yeah, and when Darren didn't like that, Darren pouted. Darren then went to his college coach and told him how upset he was, and his college coach told him to deal with it. And I think Darren was a better player for it going forward.
So there's
now in this day and age, you can't do that. You do that in 2005. You draft a point guard number 3 overall. You're starting him.
Yeah, but look now. It's the same situation in college football.
Yeah.
You bring in a super senior, you're going to start him.
Yep.
And if he doesn't start, then he's going to leave. You bring in a freshman, a high-end recruit, then you're going to start him. If you don't, then he's going to leave. It's the same thing that happened to the NBA. Guys got less and less patient. But guys were more and more ready. They'd put in more work to have the start when they get there. They've done that now. Quarterbacks have put in more work now than they used to. So when they get there, they feel like, wait a second, I'm a 4 or 5-star recruit. I had 3 other major offers in the Pac-12. I came to you, and now I'm sitting, i.e. potentially Jack Tuttle. I don't know where Tuttle was mentally, but with Kyle Whittingham, it's a kind of a level of, Wait. I'm not bending to you. I'm not starting you. Well, I'll leave. Well, fine, then leave. Leave. I don't care. I don't know if that's how he handles it, but that's when you see a guy that's like, I'm out, it kind of feels like it's like, then leave.
Yeah, I can't imagine Kyle Whittingham getting bullied by, you know, a 22-year-old who threatens to leave.
I don't see it either. I don't see that happening. I see Kyle saying, so what are you telling me? You're telling me you're going to leave? Yeah, if I'm not starting, yeah. All right. Well, that's kind of how we work our...
Well, clean out your locker and we'll go. I remember when this whole transfer portal thing kicked up, I think we had an interview with Kyle Whittingham, and we asked him something along the lines, will you ever try to convince a guy to stay if he goes into the portal? And I think there are some guys that he might. And even with Charlie Brewer, he said, well, go think about it for a day and then come back and let's talk tomorrow. And Charlie Brewer came back and said the same thing. But I think Kyle Whittingham's like, look, if you're going to go, then you're going to go and we're done. Like, we're done here.
There is also the point that was probably talked about with the coach and Charlie Brewer of, I've got to, if I'm going to go, I'm going to go now.
Yeah.
Because I can't burn this redshirt year.
Correct.
So it, when Kyle said he was talking to him about his future, maybe he said, look, you're not starting and you might not play coming up against Washington State. And in Charlie's mind, he's thinking, well, okay, if the timing is right, then I got to go. I can't be on the bench. I don't want to be on the bench and not play against Washington State and then go. So when he says he's talking about that their future, then I'm sure that had some reference to that. But I don't think Kyle Whittingham is combative with them. I just think he's matter of fact.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's matter of fact. He's how I would like to coach. We see a different style of coaching going on where coaches are trying to appease and are trying to – well, okay, you mentioned this on your Twitter this morning, how important it was that Utah State recruited Devin Tompkins back to that program. Some programs are having to – be accepting and understanding and listening to the heartache of the player and the reasoning and then saying to them, no, please don't go. We really need you. And having to have a soft tone of voice with these guys. And if you didn't do that with Devin Tompkins, then you're watching Devin somewhere blowing up a defense. And you're like, how did they let him go?
Yeah.
And instead of saying, well, that staff has just really stood their ground and didn't let that young guy push him around, we would be saying, how the hell did that staff not do everything possible to keep that kid? It is a rock and a hard place.
Well, I mean, a lot of it comes down to, you know, the old Jimmy Johnson line about Troy Aikman. Or he said, you know, he cut a guy and they asked him, well, why'd you cut him? And he said, well, he fell asleep during a meeting. He goes, what happens if Troy Aikman falls asleep in a meeting? Because I wake him up.
Yeah.
You know,
there are some guys you're just going with.
There's certain guys that if they go into the portal or they threaten to go in the portal, you do everything you can to convince them to stay. Kyle Whittingham was not at that point with Charlie Brewer. I'm sure if at the end of last year, Devin Lloyd says, hey, coach, I just didn't like how these things are going here. I want to go to the portal. And I think Kyle Whittingham may take a different tone there.
Yeah. Then it would be. So, Devin, let's talk about this. What do you need?
What do you need from us to stay here?
Yep.
And apparently, you know, the way Charlie Brewer had been playing, I don't think he deserved that level of. And by the way, I'm not calling anybody a hypocrite. I'm not calling. I mean, that's how we, you know, that's how you treat your employees. That's how you treat. There's a lot of people out there that you do everything you can to keep. And then there's other people that when they say they want to go take another job, you say,
all right.
Well, you know. Let's go ahead. Let's get your cubicle cleaned out and go down to HR and get this thing taken care of.
Yep.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hey, that's a QX55 right there, that black. Isn't that slick?
That is a beautiful car.
That's my new crush right there.
Is that a newer model? Or?
Yeah. It's, you know, you got the QX50 and then you got the QX60 and they're like, you know what, let's get the two of them together, play a little Barry White, and see what happens. And that's what you got.
That is good looking. I like how high it sits off.
I know. It's like a – it kind of has the feel of a sedan, but it's up high like an SUV. It's a really great ride. One of the many, many vehicles down here at Tim Daly Infinity. We love this dealership. We love what they do down here because it is a – well, first off, it's the most beautiful showroom you'll ever go to. Plus, they've got vehicles that you're going to love to drive. And then – also vehicles you can afford to drive. If you think you can't afford an Infiniti, well, you come down and you take a look at their used inventory, their lease options, all kinds of great ways where you can drive an Infiniti, a car you probably spent a lot of your adult life wanting to drive. You can come down here right now. Tim Daly Infiniti, just about 4550 South State Street. Megan has outdone herself. We have got a huge display of Jazz shirts, Jazz hats, some jerseys. Come down, grab some of that right now.
It's time, man.
It's
season's
time.
About to kick off.
Yep. Let's go. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Utes, and The Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. The Utes open up Pac-12 play as they welcome in Washington State for an early start. Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game and then catch the Ute pregame show Saturday at 10:30 with the postgame show immediately following the game on the Zone Sports Network. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Ute football.
You ready?
Yeah!
Than 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hansels and Scott Girard. Remember, Cougar Preview Show begins today at high noon. Talking a lot of BYU football as the Cougars look to go 4-0 against South Florida. You know what's interesting about those guys?
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
Yeah, it's not the best team right now.
You know what's interesting about him? Nothing.
Not a lot.
But we'll try to give you some insight as to who South Florida is. I'll try to help you out a little bit there.
I don't even know if they have a beat writer.
Somebody's covering that team.
I don't think so. I tried to get somebody out to like kind of preview them early in the, you know, in like July or whatever. And the guy's like, oh, that guy's been pulled off the beat. He's actually covering an NFL team now.
This guy isn't even alive. We'll take him off the list.
Did you see how bad NC State beat South Florida?
I did not.
45-0.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's probably why they don't have a beat writer.
That's NC State. They did, however, beat FAMU.
FAMU.
FA, Florida A&M University.
Oh, okay.
Which is not Texas A&M.
No, not to be confused with Texas A&M. Didn't South Florida used to be kind of good?
Yeah, they've had some good years. This is not one of those years.
Well, they did beat BYU back in 2019, 27-23.
Yep.
In a year that they went 4-8.
It was an inexplicable loss. That upset a lot of BYU fans. And I think that that might have helped get Kalani Sitake on the unextendable side of BYU for a bit. I think that loss was irritating to a lot of the higher-ups.
They did score 20 points against Florida.
Yep.
They gave up 42.
Yeah, but, you know, we can't ignore the 20 points that they scored against Florida.
Yeah, but you're right, the 38 against Florida A&M.
Yeah, it's not the best team. It seems like a kind of an unpredictable team, but we'll definitely jump into it in the Cougar Preview Show.
So you spent some time this morning on your Twitter account breaking down a little Utah State film.
I did, and I got to figure out what's going on with YouTube. I've got about 10 videos that I've done, and YouTube's not letting me download them or upload them. So I don't know what's going on there, but I'll get them uploaded because I put a lot of work into it. But Utah State's going to be a lot of fun, and in a couple of weeks, I think we're going to see a pretty exciting matchup in Logan between Utah State and BYU. What I saw from Utah State, I came out of that. I understand how much yardage they gave up on the ground. And I could see where some of that yardage was coming from. There was a problem at times from the strong safety and corner pressing on the outside of the pitch to get those runners to come back to the inside. And, Scotty, you can help me a little bit on this, but you can help me a little bit. Yeah, you can help me a little bit on this, but, yeah, those are the same ones every time. But here's the deal. And help me if you saw this. So this goes on the outside.
Okay.
How many times did you see the yardage gained on the outside?
Most of the time, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that's your safeties and corners. They've got to come up, and they've got to force those pitches back inside. And they were getting leveraged by the receivers inside, and those were breaking on the outside of the receiver leverage. They've got to force to the outside because you've got safeties and you've got backers that are pursuing from inside out to tackle those pitchmen when they're forced back inside. There was nobody forcing them back inside. So they were just getting the edge and running all the way out of bounds until they couldn't run anymore to the outside. But they were getting 8 and 12 yard bite offs every single time. And I was scratching my head thinking, well, what are you going to do? Well, you just got to keep forcing them back inside. There wasn't a lot given up on the inside. Not a ton that I saw.
It was interesting because the third quarter, a little bit more in the third quarter, you could tell they made some adjustments, and then the dive started to hit a little bit in the third quarter, where then they started to get some. And so I don't know if that was Air Force adjusting to what Utah State adjusted to, but there later in the game, then the dive started to hit a little bit more.
Did it?
And I don't know if that's because Utah State pulled, you know. But also Air Force was doing some cool cross-blocking too, which creating all kinds of problems. Well, they had some trap blocks.
And they hit the reverse a couple of times.
We got to talk during the break because I don't even recognize any of them. I got to pay more attention to what's going on.
I told you, that's the two. It's every day. Anyway. So
I'm sorry, I get you. That's not who I thought you were talking about. Lloyd, my guy's about to break something.
So
I should really apologize to you. I'm sorry.
And who did I say would come in very first? Told you.
I really don't pay attention.
So, Scotty, here's the thing. I'm not overly concerned. You know, okay. Air Force, they wear defenses out, and they're going to average, what, 320 yards a game?
Yeah.
On the ground?
Yeah.
Or 330? So, yeah, this was above average. It was certainly above average. I would like to see more outside leverage forcing back inside. The reverse, the Air Force reverse was getting them too.
Yeah.
You know.
And the thing that also concerns me a little bit is, and I know defensive backs are put in a bad position in the passing attack because they've got to keep their eyes in the backfield as well, and so some guys can get behind them. But there were some guys that were running free in the middle of the field in the passing attack that you can't have happen against Air Force. And I know that's a big issue that they're adjusting as well. Because Air Force got him. I mean, the guy threw for a career high like 189, which by Air Force standards is like 450 for any other quarterback.
Passing?
Yeah.
So I actually did one film breakdown on the first big pass to number 88.
Yeah, on the third and long.
On the third and long.
Yep.
Really irritating. But you can't bracket. You don't have the numbers to bracket. And so you can look at their best receiver and you know it's coming. You still can't bracket. Because he'll run two guys off, and then they'll hit that corner, and then there won't be a support man to come hit the edge to force it back inside. So you can't do that. So you always end up with either a man or one over the top zone, and that was the case. They actually man pressed on the field side, and then on the short side, and then they went zone on the field side, and that's how he got open. Really irritating. That was single coverage into zone, not even on a man. And that number 88 is a big boy. That's a big receiver.
Yeah, yeah.
Or tight end or whatever he is.
Tight end.
He's a pain in the butt. But, yeah, there are some things. I mean, there were some issues. One thing you don't have a shortage of is guys playing hard and physical.
Yeah.
And there was one penalty on
Marcus Moore?
Yeah, number
95.
Number 95.
Yeah.
There was a 15-yarder on number 95, and I actually highlighted it because he had three guys in his legs, and then he had a guy that tried to blow him up late. So three guys in his legs, and then he's trying to get around to the play, and some little fullback tries to punch him in the chest, and so he pushes back, and then his teammate, number 95, Utah State teammate, backs him up and hits the guy. And then 95 is like, yeah, that's how it's going to be, and blows him up again. And the dude goes flat on his back and he gets the flag. I don't mind it. I like setting the tone. I like seeing teammates support each other. I like the fight, the aggression. That defense just needs to continue to fight for each other. And having Shaq Bond back is big.
Yeah. They do lose Dom Tatum, number 23. And he's going to be most likely gone for the year. And he had been playing really well at safety. But tell you what, though, I'm glad you got a good look at Justin Rice because he's a special player.
Justin Rice will be one of those memorable Utah State linebackers. And he was making a lot of plays. And people are going to watch some of the highlights that I put out on Justin and be like, nobody even blocked him. People were trying. He was dipping under blocks. He was hitting gaps so fast that the guy that was responsible for blocking couldn't block because he was hitting gaps so fast. So Justin Rice is awesome. Is it Zongbachong?
Yeah, Vongbachong.
Vongbachong.
Yeah, number 10.
I like him. I don't think we've seen him max out his potential fully yet. Just not seeing as much one-on-one pass rush from him. He's been responsible for, and this Air Force game is the first one I've really gone back and reviewed. He's responsible, so he doesn't have a chance to pin his ears back and just go be a playmaker. And I could see that he was very focused on his responsibility. Didn't ever see him give up his responsibility. A lot of times he was responsible for quarterback and put his hat on a quarterback, and I like that. By the way, I don't think that play that it was a fumble and they called it back for a forward pass.
Yeah.
I felt like that was a lateral. I felt like that was a fumble.
Yeah.
And I looked at that review 100 times. The final angle that they show, it looks like he's kind of shoveling it forward. He's not.
That was a big play, too. Led to an Air Force field goal. Should have been a fumble.
Yeah, that was a fumble. Bonner's a good quarterback. He throws it fast and he throws it accurate. Except for the one interception that I was confused on this morning.
And that interception, too. Number one, he probably shouldn't have thrown it. Number two, I think he felt like he could put a little bit more zip on that. That what came after the injury.
He shouldn't have thrown it.
But,
yeah,
bottom line.
But if he is going to throw it, and it was a pressured situation, Air Force brought five. If you're going to throw that, then put it up and above. Like he did a couple of throws in the first half. He did one to Shaq Bond. It was just up and above. How's number? How is Aliafua? Is he okay? He went down.
Yeah, he came back in the game too.
Did he? Good, because he's a good player.
Yeah.
And then you told me that center that was playing in that game against Air Force was a backup. Hello.
Yeah, well, they get him in the rotation. They play him a little bit at some other spots too. But Chandler Dolphin was your starting center. He dealt with some issues. Did not play in that game. They anticipate he'll be back next week, but he played well in that game.
And then finally, I did want to make mention of this because I would imagine some Utah State fans were probably upset about it. I don't know how Kevin White felt about it. I don't know how you felt about it. I don't mind that onside kick attempt in the end of the first quarter.
No, I don't either.
I like it. That makes BSU and BYU, that makes them creep up this week. BSU, it makes them creep up this week. It makes all of those front lines say, well, we can't just fall back into our blocking sets. Everybody better be watching this really close. And if they saw something on film that was showing those guys released, then they need to force them to stay back.
And they didn't give points up on that drive, too. That was the one that Rice got the interception on. Devin Tompkins, dynamic player, though. He's only 5'8", he's 155 pounds, but every time it seems like he's getting a ball, it seems like he's wide open.
I love the game. It's a fun team to watch. I'm excited to watch them against Boise State and certainly excited to watch them against BYU. If BYU thinks they're just going to go to Logan and beat this team, that defense, they better get those lungs right because this offense doesn't give you a lot of chance to breathe.
Well, and their hope is because they know that right now they might be a bit undermanned at some positions, but they feel like if they make you go as hard as you anticipate that they'll go offensively, that by the time third, fourth quarter, those draws and those running plays that were 2 or 3 yards end up being 6 or 7 yards in the second half because they are really committed to the running game.
Yeah.
A lot of people think spread. They think throwing the ball all over the place, and they like to do that. But this is still a team that's averaging over 200 yards a game rushing.
Speaking of the rushing game, this Oregon State transfer, is it Tyler?
Calvin Tyler, yeah.
Did you know he was going to be good like this? Did they know he was?
Not like that. In fact, I even talked to Coach last night about it because he rips off a 61-yard run to end the game and kind of runs away from everybody. I'm like, did you anticipate he'd have that kind of speed?
Yeah.
And he goes, we really hadn't seen that in practice.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when he got off, I'm thinking, okay, that's 20, 30 yards, but somebody's going to catch him. Nobody caught him. So he's kind of a, when the lights are on, he plays really, really well and has been a real nice boost for that team. But he's going to be the guy getting the majority of the carries. Gentry's in there. He's pretty good. There's some other guys. But Calvin Tyler's going to be your guy going forward.
Calvin Tyler's not, he's not the most patient running back, but sometimes I don't mind non-patience. And a lot of the offense that Utah State's running, at least from what I saw, it's a lot of power stuff that doesn't demand patience. Counters demand patience. Draw demands patience. You know, there are traps demand patience. But he comes downhill. He doesn't hesitate and wait for a defense to form. Through the two and a half quarters that I watched, he really likes to get downhill.
All right, Hans and Scotty, a lot of those videos are up on Hans' Twitter account. 97.5 Hans is where you can find Hans on Twitter. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Cougars. And The Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff.
It ain't over till it's over.
BYU welcomes South Florida to Lavelle Edwards Stadium this Saturday. Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game. And then catch the Cougar pregame show Saturday at 6, with the postgame show starting immediately following the game on The Zone Sports Network. From Monday morning to the post-game press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Cougar football than 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
And Scotty, time for another edition of What You May Have Missed. Remember, Brian Fisher is going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes from right now from Athlon, our weekly conversation as we break down all things college football and NFL with him.
Hey, two things I want to hit really quick in What You May Have Missed. Number one, so Bradley Chubb, outside linebacker with the Broncos, fantastic outside linebacker. You need him. He just went through arthroscopic surgery in his ankle to get rid of a bone spur that
No, I'm just saying he'll come back from that, and then 2 weeks later he'll have a shoulder, and then after that he's got to get his knee scoped.
Is he injury prone?
Oh, yeah.
Is he? Oh. I thought he was a good outside linebacker.
Oh, when he's healthy, he's elite.
That's
great.
What I thought.
Yeah. It's just that, I got a toenail issue I've got to get taken care of, and I'll be out 6 weeks.
Oh, that sucks. This one will take him 7 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, it'll be the season. He's not coming back.
Oh, man, that's tough because – Really? That bad?
Giant.
That bums me out. Because I like him. When I've watched him, I'm always pretty shocked by how incredible that guy can be at times. The other thing I wanted to point out and ask you about, tell me what the end result for Ben Simmons and the 76ers is.
They'll trade him, but
they couldn't find fair trade value.
I know. That's the other thing. You're gonna get pennies on the dollar for him, but if he's like that, he's going to be a bad dude in the locker room. It's going to be a problem. You just need to – like, I would love for Philadelphia to just be like, no, we're not trading you. And you're going to show up. And if not, we're going to find the heck out of you as much as we can, you know, in accordance with the collective bargaining agreement. And put it back on him. Like, I just – you can – it's well within your right to not show up to training camp. It's well within your right to want a trade. But at the end of the day, the team, you signed that extension. You are more than happy to take that $30-plus million a year. So if you don't like the situation, then boo freaking who? Either show up or get fined.
So that's the most that they can fine him. $277,000 per game. $227,613 per game. So if they sat him for the full 82, they could fine him just over $18 million.
Yeah. I think it's worth it. Go for it.
He's set to make $33
million. Yeah.
So they would still have to pay him some.
Yeah.
But they could fine him some and try to make life miserable. But this is what I don't get. Let's just say Donovan Mitchell has had it with the Jazz. Had it. Well, Jazz fans are ready to move him. Front office is ready to move him. Teammates are ready to move him. So what you say to Donovan is, just come to camp, show up for the first month or the first few weeks, have some really good games, and we'll get you out of here.
Yeah.
But we can't trade you based off of what you did in the postseason.
Exactly.
And you're an embarrassment.
And that's where I understand, like, you're dealing with alpha emotional, you know, type A athletes who are going to think like this. This is where an agent has to step in and say, okay, look, we're not going to take this to the media. We're going to keep this really quiet. We're going to ask Philadelphia that you want out, but this is what they're going to need from you because they need somebody to want to trade for you.
Right.
Right now, you act like this, it kills your trade value. Nobody wants you in their locker room because they think you're a cancer and you can't shoot. Now, look, you're an elite-level defender. You're great in the fast break. There's a lot of great things to your game. There's a reason why they gave you money. But you got to tone it down or we're not going to be able to move you. So work with them a little bit. Show up at training camp. Say all the right things in your press conferences. And we'll do our best behind the scenes to fix this. But the more you act like this, the worse it gets for us.
Well, it's going
to
get worse because he's not showing up to training camp.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's going to get worse. You are making yourself less tradable. You think anybody wants to touch him after seeing him not show up to training camp and be a baby? Not because of something somebody else did, but because of something he did that resulted in the way people treat him.
Yeah.
It's not what anybody else did. You did this. You're being treated poorly because of it. And now you're whining because you're being treated poorly because of something that you did. That is ridiculous. I can't bring that into my organization.
You're hurt because you didn't take big shots and you didn't come up in big moments in the playoffs and your coach called you out for it. And Doc Rivers has been doing this, playing this game and coaching this game longer than you've been alive. So he knows a little bit about the game of basketball.
Yeah.
And if he calls you out, it's because you did something stupid. So why not try to fix that instead of being so mad at your coach and you had your feel bads hurt?
Oh, it is turning into a really pathetic situation. For instance, if Joel Embiid was like, Ben, we're not going to win a playoff series if you don't take those shots. You take offense to that? Even if he said, hey, beepity beep, what kind of bull beep is that? And just tore him apart and said, that is bull crap how you handled that. And if I ever see it again, I'll punch you on the court myself. I don't care if Embiid was a bad teammate telling Ben Simmons he's got to take that shot. So somebody needed to say something to him. If he can't handle the heat, this is professional basketball. This is the highest level that you can get in this world. And what he did was unacceptable.
Yeah.
And if he's mad at Shaq or Barkley or anybody else because of their evaluation of his trash and ability to take that clutch shot, well, he needs to look inward. Fix it. Go take it next time. Prove him wrong. When they were after Donovan Mitchell saying, I just don't think Donovan's got what it takes. What Donovan say? Okay. And Donovan goes out and continues to take those big shots. He's not backing down from it. He's not whining and complaining about it. He's continuing to press. That's what you do. You're being paid $33 million. Shut your mouth.
Yeah. I don't care if you're getting paid $1 million. That's your job. Go out there and do your job.
And go figure out how to do your job better.
Yeah.
And then show up and do your job good. And then we'll move you out of here.
Remember how the end of the season, he declined invitations to play in the Olympics because he wanted to focus on his game?
Yeah.
I don't think there was any focusing on his game. I think he wanted to focus on making life miserable for the 76ers so he can get traded.
Well, that's what he's done.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty, Brian Fisher joins us next. Also, your Cougar preview show kicks off at noon. It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network.